Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I am the man, sick with the slang, sick and I'm destined for fame. Do for the fam, not for the gram, stunting you're destined for pain. I do not front, I do not scam, put some respect on my name. Sick like a bane, click and I bang, y'all gon' remember the name.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls around the world? I would like to welcome you back to the Real Talk with Zuby podcast. On today's episode, we have got on another incredible guest. She is an entrepreneur, an investor, and the founder of 10X Ladies. And this is the one and only Elena Cardone. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Man, I need to work on my podcast voice after after that opening. That sounded good. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, Elena, I've done a very brief intro there, but for people who are not familiar with who you are and what you do, please tell them a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so I'm Elena Cardone. A lot of people know me as Grant Cardone's wife. Grant Cardone is a huge entrepreneurial success, multi-businesses, a huge, incredible empire that we built together. And I'm the woman behind the force that is the Grant Cardone. And in addition to that, and I take an immense amount of pride in my role in that and what we built together, I've also branched sideways to include the women into the fold, because we have a lot of guys in our, with our entrepreneurial spaces. They, for whatever reason, gravitate toward Grant. He's a very powerful male figure. But now I've ventured out and I'm doing 10X Ladies. So the idea of 10X Ladies is, how do we bring women into the fold that can then joint ventures with us in Cardone Ventures, that can then come in and find 10X Health, that can then come in and find my Empire Academy and go through and spend time in a school with me throughout the year, or that can then come in and have 10X stages and learn how to speak from stages and get hired to speak on stages. So it's really, I've stepped into quote unquote my own, if you want to call it that, in order to really, just make our community even bigger and include a lot more ladies.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So I want to be the woman behind the thousands, not just the woman behind the man, but the woman behind the thousands, because I am tried and true. That is my superhero. Like, I nail that role and empower, support, infrastructure. That's my whole scene. So now I want to be the woman behind the thousands.
That's
millions.
Awesome. So there's a lot to get into there. But before jumping into all that, I actually want to hit the rewind button and go way back, because oftentimes with successful people, known people, people sort of see you where you are right now, right?
Totally.
So people are just like, oh, cool, you've achieved this and you've done this and you've done this. And the story kind of starts from there. But the truth is, there are decades of a story behind that. So tell me a little bit more about your childhood and growing up. I know that you used to be an actress, but tell me more about the pre-10X world.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I did. I grew up I grew up with a pretty good childhood. My parents stayed together. It was rock solid. I mean, it was very middle class. We did always worry about money and where the next paycheck, I guess, was going to come from. I felt the financial stress in the house, but it was a happy household. Right. Then when I hit about 14 years old, my best friend, who lived across the street, perished in a house fire, her and her mother. Unfortunately, I witnessed that and saw that image of what, you know, unfortunately, what a body looks like when it's over 90% really burnt off. Wow. But anyway, I don't want to give your audience gruesome details. I just wanted to say that at 14 years old, it was very difficult for me to confront that. I couldn't get rid of those images. It was very difficult for me. So I went down a very self-medicated route. So I really went down the road of heavy recreational drug use, alcohol consumption from 14 to 17. In that period, 8 more friends passed away. Because when you go into the drug world, that's even a more of a liability. Mm-hmm. So 4 died in a car crash together because there was alcohol and drugs involved. 1 was an overdose. 1 was a suicide. And 1 fell off of a balcony being loaded, laughing, fell back. You know, so that was a lot to confront.
Where were you at this time?
I was in New Orleans, Louisiana, which was a very party-induced city to begin with. Mm-hmm. So I had to leave at 17 to try to go get out of that environment. I couldn't see the house, the empty shelled out house, being reminded of it every time I went in and out of my house. It was just a constant reminder. And now I'm sucked into this world. And so I moved to California to do the only thing that I thought I knew how to do, which was, I'll become an actress and a model. Because when I did school, the school system said I had a severe comprehension problem. I was in the lower reading group. They didn't teach you how to read in school. They didn't teach you, don't go by a word you don't understand. Or, why are you studying? What is the subject? What does it even mean? Like, I didn't know any of this. So there was just lots of non-comprehension. No wonder. But anyway, I go out to California at 17. I knew no one, but, essentially the streets of the French Quarter, at 17, I could that or go to LA. My parents were so worried. You're going to go and get peer pressure. And I'm like, why don't you have a sit down and I'll tell you everything that's gone on. And I'm actually going here to make my life a little bit better. So I went down the acting and that world, but I was raised to be a strong, independent, powerful woman, never depend on anyone, especially a man. Mm-hmm. Like, that was in the core of my DNA. Like, if I did that, if I depended on a man for anything, I was like a hardcore sellout in this imaginary women's movement that I carried along with me.
Mm. Where did that message come from? Because that's interesting, because normally when a woman adopts that mindset, in my personal observation, it's when they haven't had, when their parents haven't had a great relationship and perhaps the mom couldn't rely on the dad or whatever.
It's interesting
and then they adopt that because they don't want to kind of go through the same thing. So they put up those barriers.
So I think a lot of it does also come from the society.
Okay.
I think women have this group agreement, like, we don't depend on men, like, we do everything on our own. And I definitely don't need a man, like, but you do mention that, and I will not invalidate you on that concept, because my father was in Spain and he fought in World War II, and he always kind of had a problem assimilating back into civilian world. He had trouble holding jobs. He was a big sportsman shooter. That was like his big thing. So he won all these competitions, had some sort of a fame or whatnot, meets my mom, gets married to her. They get pregnant with my sister, who's older, and then me. And then she wants him, meaning my mother, to move back to the United States. So he kind of gives up his shooting career. You know, he was in all these competitions, his fame or whatever, to be back in the U.S. And so he feels like he gave up his career in order to do the family, which, of course, he loves his family, but he gave something up.
Got it.
Now, my mother who came back to the U.S. to rear these two children, my sister and myself, she was the sole breadwinner.
Got it.
And so she was always struggling to provide for the whole entire family. And there was always this shame or whatever, like we'd always kind of lie for my father saying, oh, he works for the sportsman's club, or he's a this realtor, or now he's doing this or that, but never did he ever win at any of that and bring in income. So my father, when I was like, I'm going to go be an actress in Hollywood and make this thing work, which was really to get me out of New Orleans, but that was the only hope of anything I had. He was like, don't let a man tell you to quit on your dreams. You go for your thing. So that indoctrination came a lot from that. Then you had my mom saying, never depend on a man for your own finances because, you know, look at her situation. Now, they did get along and they had a good relationship, but there was always that financial strain there. Mm-hmm. So I think that came a lot to it. So I never felt like I could sell out by, you know, doing either of those. Mm. And then I marry... finally tap out, you know, submit or whatever to Grant when I was 30 years old, you know, because I never had girlfriends. I was always a tomboy and I liked hanging out with dudes. I could just relate to them always. I rebuilt hot rods in Los Angeles myself. Like I can work on car, all 60s cars. Like I was a fanatic. I was also a gun shooter. So I'm on guy squad shooting. So I had hot rods. I was ranked 10th in California for shooting. Like, you know, so I was always in these guy worlds. I hated the idea of like talking about your problems or the girl, like what I thought girl things were about. I detested. But anyway, now I find myself at 30 married to Grant. Now I find myself at 36 about to have my first child, still operating with Grant in a marriage for the first 4 years as we're in a marriage, but I'm still operating as this independent, powerful woman. I can't depend on my husband. So the whole entire marriage dynamic was around, don't you tell me what to do and you're not the boss of me and I'm going to prove my this and I'm not making you a meal and, you know, because I'm not some subservient woman. And so there was all of that going on and bicker, 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 fight for this power position. And I'm not going to let any woman of any mankind down by letting my husband have the one up on me, you know? Yeah. And then the crash of 2008 occurred, and now I'm pregnant with our child. We're on the verge of losing everything financially. My acting career, as I knew it, was over. Mm-hmm. So what am I going to do? You know, and I had to look at, well, I have a choice, which is we lose everything or I get behind my man, create this idea of this vision of this future, not care about this whole women's movement that's in my head and really decide to go all in on us, go all in on him. I'm going to do all the behind the scenes operations. I'm going to be the boss of these departments. You're the boss of these departments. It eliminates us fighting each other. We're going for this big goal, this empire. Grant, it looks like this. Da, 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 da. By the way, Grant, you have to be a billionaire. He's like, what? When's enough enough? Da, da, da. Well, you told me you want to help everyone have financial freedom and financial legacy. Don't you think it would make sense that we hit it first? Well, the only way we're going to get that and get enough attention for people to listen to you is if you become a billionaire and you have to do your products and services with enough people to make that happen. So, you know, and by the way, if that's the target, guess who's not the target? Me. So you're not fighting me anymore. I'm helping you. We're fortifying because that's the target. I'm not your enemy. You're not my enemy. We got to come together and fortify. So we figured out who does what for a greater purpose. And everything that I visualized in 2008 is the life that we're living right now. And that's when I was like, you know, now who I am is more independent and more powerful as a woman through my experiences and what I learned from a man, because I'm more able to think for myself. I have more, I have my own thoughts. I'm able to look at the whole thing, get my own informed consent or education. And then I decide what is my integrity on this? Not what I think I'm supposed to do for some imaginary women's group that exists in my head. You know, I made a lot of mistakes by this imaginary where I'm thinking I'm this independent, powerful woman, including sexual liberation, like a couple little one night stands here and there. You know what I'm saying? Pre-Grant, obviously. But like, oh, that's what an independent, powerful woman does. And I don't need you. And like, goodbye, you know. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But do you know what's so interesting? You've touched on so many interesting things and so many things that I've been thinking about and even publicly conversing about over the last few months, if not years. And this is just the subject of gender dynamics and the changing roles and relationships between men and women and how society and culture and even economic and technological forces are often pushing both sexes down roads that oftentimes they, in their heart of hearts and as wired in their biology, don't want to go down in situations they don't want to be in, but they feel like they're forced and pressured to conform into that. And if you look all through human history, obviously, I mean, we're a sexually dimorphic species, but men and women are supposed to, we're supposed to work together. We're supposed to be collaborative.
Right.
We're supposed to be cooperative.
Right.
We're not the same. I know that statement angers some people these days, but men and women are fundamentally different. We have advantages, disadvantages. Yes, of course, everyone's an individual, but generally speaking, the disadvantages that men have are compensated for by the strengths women have. The strengths, the weaknesses women have, men compensate for. So lo and behold, when both are present, as is the case, because the population is 50-50.
Strength in numbers, you're stronger together than you are as a one unity.
Absolutely,
unit.
Anyway, yeah. And I think there's so much stuff in culture over the decades, honestly, which has been pushing a more competitive attitude.
Millions.
And as you've said yourself, that can even go into intimate relationships and marriages, where you have situations where instead of it being a collaborative approach of like, hey, let's...
It's small-minded and small think. The game is, oh, let's fight each other because that's our big game in life. Instead of, no, what do we really want and how do we have each other's back? Because when you really have a big enough purpose together, you're going to be having to fight a lot of people who don't want to see couples win, who don't want others to have financial successes. You're going to have, the enemies are going to come from all, you're going to have enough to do. If you're fighting your partner, you're playing too small. Like your game is, that's your game. Like if there's nobody else to fight, have fun at that. If that's the game you want, that's the game you want. But it's so, for me, I did that and I have now the life that I have and want to have, you know, continue to have. And this one is just so much more rewarding and fulfilling to me. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to bring, I really want to be, and I am indoctrinating myself with a lot of knowledge and investing time, energy, resources, and studying everything that I need to study to become the person I want to be in the future, which is the face of the new women empowerment movement, which includes how do men and women actually come back. We separated, and here's why. Mm. And I get that, and we corrected a lot of that. But now we got to learn from those mistakes and figure out now how to come back together and work together and reboot and collaborate and hit heightened levels of success together, because we are meant to work together. We are not meant to be separated. And I think there is an agenda, but that's a whole conspiracy theory. But I really do think that there is an avid agenda to keep people only by themselves and not partnered up with power or strength. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, absolutely. It's interesting. I mean, I've heard it described that, you know, a lot of women over the decades ended up becoming the men they wanted to marry, right? So there's this strange thing that's happened where there's been simultaneously a demonization of masculinity, at least traditional masculinity.
Million.
But a celebration of those qualities if they're in women. And I actually think that it's, for all the talk of empowerment, I personally think it's actually disempowered women a lot, because it's essentially sent the message that for a woman to be strong and powerful and whatever, she basically has to be more like a man, right? She has to compete with men and do all the things that men do and compete directly in that regard, instead of going, okay, look, there's a lot of overlap between what men and women are capable of and what they can do. And in a free society, you can pursue your interests and ideas, which, by the way, are not going to have equal outcomes because men and women are different and have different interests. But I think it's a massive shame that instead of going, hey, look, you're different, and that's the superpower. The superpowers that women have are the things that men lack or completely don't have or cannot do.
Right.
But instead it's been like, oh no, all that stuff is terrible and it's a curse and it's bad. And you need to just be more like that, you know, masculine, dominant, assertive man who competes and never switches that off. And in some ways, it's like we've simultaneously progressed and regressed, not just on this issue.
I agree.
But many things
in society.
I agree.
There was some very good things that needed to happen. And we progressed and we have more to do along the line. But I think you're right when you said we have really gone in the direction of, well, what does it look like for a woman to be powerful? And I think, yes, I mean, sure, we like our own products. We want to feel good. You know, we want to work. We have our goals. We have our dreams. And that makes us satisfied and no problem with that. But I think we've gone so far into the direction of the strength and the thing and, you know, more masculinity or whatever that we've ignored because the fact that this doesn't make a woman, but clearly we are the only ones that have the ability to have babies on this planet.
It's a big deal.
But there's so, it's a very big deal. I mean, without women, there's no procreation
stops.
Of this civilization. Yeah. So to me, it's the most important job there is in the world. Not that you have to have it to be validated as a woman. So I got to say that or people put words in my mouth, right? But a lot of women, including myself, from the indoctrination of who knows where it comes from, society, the strong woman, our ideas of what that takes, totally diminished that role. Because when I went into the mother role, Grant, what do you do at a party? Oh, I run the this and I'm the CEO of this and this. Elena, what do you do? I wasn't acting at the time. I felt like I had nothing. I'm like, oh, I'm just a mom. Like just a mom. Like I'm responsible for the procreation of civilization. I'm keeping these children alive. Why am I saying just a in front of a mom? Like, why am I embarrassed or like somehow my value as a woman is like degraded because I'm just a mom? Like, it's like that's psychotic to me. Like, why isn't it at the party? Oh, Grant, I'm the CEO. I'm the millionaire. Oh, and Elena. Oh, that's great, Grant. That's great. Elena, what do you do? Oh, I'm a mother of two children, you know.
I raised producing, human
yes,
beings.
Yeah. Oh, who are going to be productive, contributing members of society. And wouldn't it be cool if the reaction was like, wow. Mm. You're a mom.
It's so interesting because I think in much of the world, that still is the reaction. I think that.
Really?
Yeah. I think that in our countries, you know, in modern Western countries, that role has been so diminished.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally, again, I think that's a massive shame because it is the most important thing. And even women who have very successful careers who are also mothers, if they're being real in their heart, like which one are they most proud of? Which one is the thing, you know, when they're old and they're on their deathbed and they're thinking back on their lives, which is the thing that's going to give them that meaning? And hey, like this is something, this is my real legacy. It's children, it's grandchildren, it's all of that. And I think it's a discredit to women that has been, you know, you brought up the film earlier, talking about your previous mindset, and you use the term selling out.
Yes.
And the idea that
I'm a sellout because I want a
that's
family.
So crazy.
I never wanted to be married or have kids because I felt like I was going to be a sellout to powerful, independent women. And it's like, so that's why I'm on a mission now to be the face of the new women empowerment movement where I can, you know, I can encourage and embolden other women to own their role as mothers or as women or working women or whatever the dynamic is. And I can be like the inspiration and the stable point for marriages to say, you know, they're not always easy. You're going to have to work some things out. What isn't easy? Like, tell me one, you want an Olympic gold medal? You got to work for it.
Yep.
Like, the marriage is supposed to be different. It's supposed to be like honeymoon the whole time. It can be if you all work together and stuff, but you know, it takes work.
Yeah.
But I want to be that stable point that says, you know what? Men and women can actually come together and be more powerful and stronger together than I can. Grant's helped me.
Yes.
Like Grant's helped me hit my heightened levels.
Yeah.
And I only take credit for his heightened levels.
Yeah.
Cause he's going to do whatever he could have done on his own. He's a genius. He's successful. He's always going to be that.
Mm-hmm.
But where did he go because I came into the picture and helped him with that? And he couldn't have done that without me. I don't believe he could.
And again, what? No, of course.
And I couldn't have without him.
Of course not. Even
I tried.
Even beyond the business and the money and everything.
Right.
Right. Grant is an incredibly successful entrepreneur and businessman. But even 30 years from now, right? Imagine if you're that guy, but you have no wife, you have no children, you have no grandchildren,
what's it
you
for?
Have no. So cool, you're sitting on a billion.
Where's your family?
But there's no, you know,
right.
How much money does one man need? What are you gonna do with it all?
That's the thing with this Empire Academy that I'm putting them through. It's the four pillars. Mm. It's the four pillars that you have to build the foundation to building the empire. And the concept is you can't be 10x in one pillar and have the other ones failing. And those are empire mindset. Mm-hmm. So your mindset, dynamic relationships, because it goes beyond just the husband and wife relationship. It's a relationship with the kids,
yep.
The teachers, the customers, the clients. You know what I'm saying? It's relationships, dynamic relationships. Master your money, because I want financial freedom. Mm-hmm. You know, I walked away from a $1.5 million contract because they wanted me. In my contract, they said, you can't do anything political. And I said, fine. I don't talk political. I stay in my lane. I have a purpose. My purpose is empower women, protect children, and restore the family unit on this planet. That's who I am. I'm not political. Mm-hmm. But if you defy one of those three things, I have a problem. Okay. I'm like, yeah, no problem. I'm not 20 minutes before I'm supposed to speak on stage. They tell me you have to take down a post that you did a month ago or you can't go on the stage.
Oh.
And the post was in retaliation to something that I saw. So I said, I don't care. You can do whatever. Again, they're going to try to take my one conversation and spin it off into other conversations. Mm. But if you just stick to what I said in the facts, a man, I don't care what mutations you do to your body, amputations, cutting your penis off. Mm. I don't care. You can't have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have a baby. I gave birth to two babies without drugs at my house. Mm-hmm. I did that. A woman did that. 8 billion people are on the planet right now. Not one was birthed from a man.
Yes.
All of them. So that's what my post, that they were so offended because I am upsetting this one particular community. I'm like, look, I never said they don't deserve rights.
Nope.
You deserve to be bullied. I will do business with you. I will help you. Mm-hmm. I support you. You have every right.
I walked away from it,
but that's financial freedom.
Yes.
And then the last one is the design your life. And you can't be 10X in health and wellness and your lifestyle and having your money fail. So when you get your money right, which is why I'm so passionate about mm-hmm. helping women and men and families get their money right, is because then you have financial freedom.
I want to give you more credit than you're giving yourself.
Oh, I'll take that.
Our podcast today is sponsored by The Wellness Company. Did you know that nearly 90% of pharmaceuticals in the U.S. are produced overseas? That's an alarming statistic. If you don't have an emergency kit on hand, it's time to get prepared. The Wellness Company's medical emergency kit contains 8 potentially life-saving medications that every single American should keep in stock. It comes with a 22-page instruction guide on safe medical use for everything from snake bites to COVID to bioterror events. Another stellar product from the Wellness Company is Spike Support. Whether you got vaxxed or not, the virus is still among us in some capacity, as well as the related spike protein. Spike protein can cause brain fog, tissue damage, blood clots, and more. Spike Support is a detoxification powerhouse that aims to strengthen the body's natural immunity and flush out spike protein, so you can get back to that pre-COVID feeling. Get both of these products by going to twc.health/Zuby and get 15% off with the discount code Zuby. That's twc.health/Zuby and use discount code Zuby to get 15% off. Disclosure, the medical emergency kit is only available to U.S. residents.
Because that's not just financial freedom, that's courage and integrity.
Thank you.
There are a lot of people in this world with financial freedom and they would not have held their ground in that regard on something so important and fundamental and based in reality. I actually almost tweeted this morning that I think the concept of, you hear people talk about FU money.
Yes.
And I don't think it's real. I think there is FU character.
Mm.
I think that there are so many people with tens, hundreds of millions, billions, billions, but they're still cowards. They still won't stand on their principles. They won't speak up the truth. Mm-hmm. And there are plenty of people who are not financially well off, but they will still
take
the stand.
You're right.
They will still not sacrifice their principles. You could wave money at them and they're like, no, I'm not sacrificing my integrity for that. So I want to give you more credit because I don't think that's just, hey, I've got money in the bank so I can do that and walk away from that. I think it's, no, actually, I'm not going to compromise.
That's what I told
my
her.
Principles. I didn't say anything wrong.
I said the same thing to the executive.
Yeah.
When she, I don't want to give it away.
Okay.
When that executive told me that, I said, I cannot compromise. I said exactly those words. I will not compromise my integrity.
Yeah.
I did not say anything offensive. If people want to be offended, mm-hmm. they're offended about something mm-hmm. else. I did not say anything that wasn't true.
Yeah.
I will not compromise my integrity. And I said, I'm a feminist. I fight for women and women's rights. And she was like, well, it's political. I was like, I don't even know how that's political. That is so psychotic. You don't know who I vote for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I fight for women's rights, you're going to now label me like a political. You don't even know what I am. Like, how it was so the whole thing was psychotic. She's arguing with me that men can have babies.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, you need to understand what psychosis is. A psychosis is a severe mental condition where the thoughts and emotions are so disconnected from actual reality. That's the definition of psychosis. This conversation we're having is psychosis because we're not dealing in reality and you're forcing me to assume a reality. And I said, I'm a feminist. I fight for women's rights. Mm. Because if I was a single mom and I could not walk away from this paycheck, I wouldn't want to be put in the situation where I'm either compromising my integrity or I'm not taking care of my children. I'm not in that position, but there are women that are. And I will not, you know, because she was like, your contract. I said, tear it up. Tear it up. Because I'm now obligated for all the women that might not have the courage or financial situation or the integrity to be able to trust that if they walked away from that, they could go recreate it someplace else.
Yeah. No, honestly, massive respect. And it says so much about the times that we live in, because a decade ago, number one, that would not have been seen as being a remotely political statement. Let alone controversial, like regardless of where people sit politically or their thoughts or whatever.
Like,
people would have just been confused as to why are you even saying that? That's so obvious. That would have been the that would have been the response.
Right.
So it's interesting how much things have shifted over the course of a decade where something like that is even deemed to be political. Like it's really not.
I had no idea.
Biological.
She's telling me that was political now. Yeah. I was like, oh God, we're in trouble.
There's a term you've used a couple times. You talked about empowering women.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean to you? Because I think that's one of those phrases that's quite
overused,
semantically
maybe?
Yeah, semantically overloaded, and that it can mean very different things to different people.
Okay. Yeah. So for me, because it has the word power in it, empowering. The definition of the word power, there's a few, but the one that I'm going to focus on that's applicable to my usage of the word power is the capacity or the ability to influence the behavior of others. Mm. That's power. So for me, if a woman has the capacity or the ability to influence herself, that's power. If she can empower her partner, her children, her community, like it's women who can change the world. We have a tremendous amount of influence in the families and the structure. It's the woman that's like, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, where the finances go. We have a lot of say. We mm-hmm. influence a lot of people. We don't always give ourselves credit for it. We devalue ourselves a lot, but we have a lot of power and we have the ear and people listen to us is when we really own that power. But we're not owning that power. We're doing other things. We're invalidating ourselves or beating ourselves up. We're not really standing up and being empowered and really saying, you know what? I'm going to figure out how to become the best version of myself so that I can go home and help and partner with my partner to become the best version of us as a couple.
Mm-hmm.
And then how can I be the best parent for the children so that they grow up to be contributing happy members to society? And then what can I do? So I feel like it's the women that are going to come together who are empowered to then do that to make change on the planet. Like, I'm going big. Mm. And that's where I come up with, if there's a woman empowered and she really owns it, she has the ability to influence a large sphere of other people. And I think that is more contagious than COVID.
We won't get into that one.
You know what I'm saying? Like, goodness. Yeah. And, you know, when people are winning, they're not hating. Mm. More people need to win.
I love that.
And more women need to help cure, care, guide, direct. Like, when you're sick, who do you want? You want your mom.
Yes.
When you're on your deathbed, they ask for God and the mom. Did you know that? Like a deity.
Oh, is that
yeah, that's like a they interviewed all these people or stats of their deathbed, and the two most requests.
I hope they didn't interview them on their deathbed.
On their deathbed. Yeah, on their deathbed. Can you tell me? Yeah, they say that if you're on your deathbed, 99% are going to be like, praying to God, and where's my mom?
Okay.
So anyway, that's where I feel like the planet is right now. I feel like the planet is very sick. And as a generality, I know not all women might feel maternal, but a lot of us do. I know I do. I'm only going to speak for myself. So I feel like the planet is sick right now. And I feel like it's going to be the women who come together to freaking heal this planet and change the trajectory. And let's start going back up into the upward spiral. And I think women are going to be at the grass movement for that change.
Do you know what I really like about your approach and a lot of what you're saying is, and I've made this point before, which is that a lot of people, this goes beyond the gender conversation, but a lot of people don't seem to realize that you can uplift a group without denigrating another one.
Million. We don't need to hate men. We need to get along
and
with
so
them.
And so much of women's empowerment has been pushing this, lifting this one and pushing this one down.
That's
or you see the same in whether it's racial conversations or it's cultural conversations or whatever. And I'm like, why can't you uplift people without denigrating and demonizing others?
Separated.
Yeah.
You know? Because at the end of the day, I don't know what religion you are. It's your thing. I'm not pushing a religion. Mm-hmm. But most people believe that you're a spiritual being.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So if you're a spiritual being, like a lot of people either believe in reincarnation or heaven and hell. That's a fair statement in the Western society, right? So a lot of people get confused thinking that they're a body because this is what you identify. That's another popular word. I identify as this body. But a lot of people don't realize that they're not a body. So they get so confused. I'm black, I'm white, I'm female, I'm male, I'm a body, 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 body. Well, who's in the body? Who's operating the body? The spirit. When the spirit leaves the body drops and becomes a piece of matter, just like this chair. There's no life in it. Like, I'm lifing this body. I'm a spiritual being. I don't have color. I don't even have a body because when I go up to heaven, if that's what I do, let's take that example. Like, people die all the time. Have you ever seen a body go up, like rise and go up to the sky? Because the body's not the person. It's the being, the spirit. The spirits are going up and you don't see spirits because we don't see those with these physical universe eyes. So that's who we are, but we're so confused as to like identifying with these different things that are made to keep us separate. But really, I believe we're all spiritual beings. Like, my spiritual being is not male or female. I'm a spiritual being. I'm just energy. I'm just source. I'm just, you know, my integrity, all those things get to come with me. My things, my plane, my this, my this don't get to come with me, but me comes with me. That's why I invest so much in me, in my spiritual being and my makeup, my content of my heart, my character. And I want to like help people have those type of realizations. And when we do, we can come together as mankind and figure out how to become better as mankind instead of Ukraine, Russia, this, that, like, why is man
left, right,
killing
red,
man?
Blue,
why are we doing that?
Black,
why is
white,
our species
up, down.
Like killing ourselves? Like,
and it's always been that way. That's the crazy thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the crazy thing is, you know, really I often say the only real differences between us and our ancestors is that number one, we have access to history and more information. And two, we have more and better technology. That's it. Psychologically, biologically, were the same. It's why you can read a book that was written 2,000 years ago and the stories and relatable. The way people are behaving is completely relatable.
Totally.
The
Bible. It,
yeah, there's nothing new under the sun, right? It's kind of repeated and rephrased in different ways, but we have the same strengths, weaknesses, proclivities, you know, mental flaws, groupthink.
Yes.
Susceptibility to influence or propaganda or advertising or this or this. And even when you know some of these things and are aware of them, right? We're entrepreneurs. You know how to sell, you know how to frame, you know how to influence things. And even when you're aware of the tactics, they still work on you.
Totally.
I find that something really interesting. Like you can know sort of pricing psychology and sales psychology and whatever. You can do it yourself. And those techniques still work on you. And
Totally. Because it's truth.
Yeah.
You know?
It is. So with the future of 10X and everything that you're doing, Where would you like it all to go? Where would you like it to be, let's say?
Oh, I want to do a movement. This is my thing. My new thing is I really want to be this new women empowerment movement. I want to do arenas of women.
Amazing.
I want to talk about all these subject matters that we're dealing with. Let's have a conversation. Let's hear. I came up with this phrase just recently, and I freaking love it. Let's hear the whole side before we decide. Like, that's what I'm about right now. I want to hear it all. Like, I can handle the truth, mm-hmm. as Vivek said, you know? I can handle the truth. I just need the truth so I can make my own informed decisions. I want the right to those decisions. I want to just create a mass movement of women really taking ownership and responsibility of how can we change the trajectory of the porn industry, of child sex trafficking. It starts with awareness. It starts with, okay, you don't think you have any, I'm going off subject here, but you don't think you have, of course you're not a child sex trafficker. No one's saying you are, but can we get women aware enough to even start looking at, well, what is the gateway? What is the door? Like, even just saying what I'm about to say is just probably going to open up a whole door of attacks.
Do it.
But it's just my level of responsibility. Maybe it's not the next woman next to me's level of responsibility, but I think, back in the day, if you wanted to do the whole porn scene, you'd wear the hoodie and you'd go into the movie and you would it was all a sneak thing.
Yeah.
Or you'd have to buy all the trash magazines behind the little thing and you'd have to be
there.
You had to be a certain age. Now I open up any social media and it's ass tits, tits, ass tits. It took all the fun out of ass gazing. You know what I'm saying? And so it's so much of that. There's so much. Like, you become desensitized to it, right? So the whole porn thing is like, now I got to go to the next thing to get the next high. And it's an actual addiction. Like, porn is an addiction.
Yeah.
And then it creates all this, erectile dysfunctions. Mm-hmm. Now you're having degraded thoughts about women because you're watching the content. And now you need the next thing, the next thing, the next thing, the next thing, until you're finally, we're at the point now where pedophilia is the new thing.
Great.
Pedophilia just got declassified or degraded from the American Medical Association from
disorder?
Yes, thank you. From a disorder to a preference, because they're trying to set the whole thing up for, California just passed this thing where they said for a child who has anal sex, regular sex, oral sex, if they're willing, willing? That there's no penal ramifications for that. So that's the direction of that. But if I can get women, and then I'll steer us back on course.
Yeah.
But if I can get women to say, okay, how do hardcore drugs normally start? From an innocent drug like marijuana. No one hates on marijuana. It's legal everywhere. That was the gateway drug for me. I started with marijuana and went down other things. I didn't go start with ecstasy first. Mm-hmm. I did marijuana first. So the gateway to the industry, if you're going to be aware enough as a woman, maybe you want to take this responsibility. No, I'm not selling kids, but hey, can I take responsibility and refuse to post ass tits pictures on social media where a guy can have 37 asses in 1 minute? Like, am I going to say no to that? And if we start cleaning ourselves up and cleaning that up and start cleaning it up and start restoring our as women value to society? And like, what happens if a guy now actually has to work to see boobies? You know, like maybe chivalry comes back. Do you know what I'm saying? So you asked me where I wanted to go. Where I wanted to go. I want revolution. I want change. I want women to actually, you know, be independent and powerful and not have sexual liberalizations or makeup words, but having sex with guys just because they think they have the right to, and we're sexually free and, you know, but then feel degraded, you know, and then feel like they need approval from bodies. And that's hence we get the ass tits all day long. They're nice ass and they're nice tits, but I've seen enough.
Man.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I more than know what you're saying. I more than know what you're saying. And I love that you're addressing that message to women, because there's a similar message for men, which is a, you know, covers a lot of the same ground, but I think I'd frame it a little differently for men. But the truth is, and this is where I think women as a collective group do not fully understand their power and their influence. And this is that they really set the standards for men. Women set the standards for men, because men are always going to adapt to what works and what women are responding to, right? So if that shift happens there, then the male behavior will change, right? Mm-hmm. People are like, why is chivalry dead? I'm like, well, chivalry's dead because it doesn't really pay off.
Well, it doesn't. Right? I mean, we went through, a women's movement that was like, I can open my own door. And we, you know, I take responsibility. That movement killed a lot of that.
Yeah, you know? after the fifth or sixth time, you know, a woman says, "Hey, I can open." You know, a guy's gonna stop.
I know.
Not every man will, but a lot of men will stop opening those doors and being like, "You know what? It's not a the juice isn't worth the squeeze." But Elena, I love what you're doing. I would love to talk to you for a lot longer, but I know you've got something coming up, so I want to be respectful of that. Where can people find and follow you online?
Oh, everything is at elenacardone.com. ELENA. CARDONE, like Car and Dunn, ElenaCardone.com. And I'm everywhere as that. And social media, I have my website, I do my 10X Ladies, I do my Empire Academy. I'm really trying to build an army of women who share the same vision, who are ready to be emboldened, empowered, and stand up and talk and speak their truth to encourage other people to speak their truth as well and change the trajectory. I'm ready to take the planet back.
I love it. Elena, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
I am the man, sick with the slang, sick and I'm destined for fame. Do for the fam, not for the grand, stunt me is destined for pain. I do not front, I do not scam, put some respect on my name. Sick like Cobain, click and I bang, y'all gon' remember the name.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.